Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, October 4th, and we're back. No rain, Danny, like
I know,
I
but
predicted.
It was cloudy.
So what?
Now it's sunny.
Even it wasn't that cloudy.
It rained last night.
Where? Not, well, in some places, not here.
Yeah, no, it rained in Los Angeles.
It did, huh?
Yeah, because I went out and it was
That's
raining.
What I heard.
And I had to like run inside so my
it
hair wouldn't
nothing
get
nothing here. Nothing.
What, in the valley?
Yeah. Like
how could
right
it rain
here
in Los Angeles and not in the valley?
I'm asking you, okay, because I'm here. I thought I was telling Casey yesterday I should invent a game where people bet on whether it's going to rain when they tell us it's going to rain.
Yeah, I know.
And
but
I'll always
rain.
Win because it never rains.
Rain in Los Angeles for like literally maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was like a heavy rain.
They warned us from it for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Pretty much.
Yeah, some storm that is. I'm sure all the new stations prepared for storm watches.
Yeah, not here. Which makes me think like when we do get one, it's going to be real bad, like ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we have before. We've had some flooding and mudslides and stuff in Pacific Coast and other places, but yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah,
I
don't.
We don't get any
me either
disasters here. You know? We don't need them, really.
No.
We have enough on our hands.
Or I hope it like happens when I'm on vacation. So yeah, when I get back, I'm like, oh, I missed it.
Yeah, right?
Just in the nick of time.
I know. Actually, I moved away from L.A. a week before the Northridge earthquake.
Yeah, I remember
94.
This story. That's crazy.
Right? So a week before, man.
My biggest fear is there'll be an earthquake and I'll be like on some type of bridge or something.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, what the hell?
Well, we'll deal with it when it happens, right? You can't prepare. You don't
you
know
can't
where you're going to be.
You can't.
You know?
It can happen right now.
Right. You know, and I was thinking, when you have like an earthquake in the water and then there's a risk of tsunami, it's like when you have an earthquake, you want to be not high. You want to be low, right? You don't want to be on a building.
No,
or
if it's a tsunami, you want to be high.
No, but if it's an earthquake, you want to be low.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if it's a tsunami, you have to be high. So yep, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, nothing. Die.
Yeah.
Basically.
Just sit on a friggin' rock or something on a cliff.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen
because
there.
Like in San Andreas, people on the ground and up high all died. I was like, all right, that's great.
Oh, in the movie.
Yeah, and it was so unrealistic.
You don't know. You
no,
don't
but
know
I mean like the survival
happen
scenes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
you would all be dead.
Well, you've got to suspend it, you know, belief when you watch this yeah stuff.
I didn't enjoy it. Like, I would never watch that movie twice.
Right.
Because it's just too, like, not realistic for me.
Yeah.
Like, at least one person in your family had to get the boot. No one died. You all survived.
Yeah, right.
It's not realistic.
Well, that's how these movies are, you know? Happy ending.
Yeah.
Always, you know?
That's true.
But, yeah, I did not particularly like the movie because it was unsettling to me, you know?
Yeah.
I felt, wow, if this stuff happens, man, this is going to be
real bad.
Real bad.
Yeah.
Real bad. So, and they didn't even show half of it, you know? I think if there's like chaos and stuff, people are gonna like have guns and rob each other and shit like that. You know?
I don't think anyone's gonna be thinking that when they're about to
oh
die.
Oh, believe me, when no afterwards.
Oh, after yeah, when the city is just not a city anymore. Like, how do people make money?
Oh, how do they drive? How do they do anything?
Yeah,
really? No, it would be a disaster. So
let's not talk about it.
Yeah. We'll talk about movies more tomorrow. We have a returning guest, so that
should
be fun.
I want to go see Venom this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I guess my son posted that he saw either a preview or a pre-screening, early screening of it. You think it's going to be pretty good?
Well, I'm obsessed with Tom Hardy. So,
really?
Yeah, like if I could have like a hall pass, if his wife gave him a hall pass, I'd be like, let's get it.
Yeah. Now, Venom is a negative character, right? He's a villain.
Yeah. So right. I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah.
But he's not a good guy,
like
obviously.
Root for the villain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's going to be funny. Like, it looks like it's going to have some comedy in it.
Well, I hope it's good. You know, I've had it with the comic book characters, you know?
I love them.
It all seems to be the same.
I
used to love to read the books, you know, and the magazines and stuff, but the comic books and that, but what can I say?
Yeah.
But at any rate, folks, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest today. We're going to have an interesting, probably unusual conversation about topics you may not have thought about for a while, but it should be pretty interesting, you know, refreshing. So, like, I'm trying to think of, anything new with you? Nothing, no developments, no book deals yet?
No, nothing.
Okay.
I hung out with that guy last night, and I'm definitely obsessed with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and you had some action and stuff,
I'm sure. But it was just, like, a good night. Like, he's not, like, one of those guys that just expects you to come over and sleep with you, and, like, then you have to bounce right after.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
So it was enjoyable, actually.
Yeah, like, I talked to him for, like, 4 hours before he even, like...
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, maybe you found the man.
No.
You said you're obsessed.
Yeah, but it's probably just because I haven't gotten laid in a while.
Okay, well, you know. You said it might happen.
I do like him, though. Like, I told him, I was like, I picture myself being friends with you. Like, yeah. He's just like a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's not like any of the dudes I've met in LA where I'm really? Just like, I can't get, I just don't even want to have a conversation with you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe there's something there. You see, you don't give up hope, man. You never know.
You never know. Right now, I just want to have fun, though.
Yeah, huh? Well, good. Then have your fun.
I just got to, like, check the crazy, like, leave the crazy at the door.
Right.
Yeah, and then... resume after I leave. Text all my craziness to the people, other people but him.
Right. So, but he won't know the real you then.
I know.
What's going to happen?
Well, he said it like after we hooked up last night. He's like, I can already see it in your eyes. Like that crazy switch just went on. I was like, no, it didn't. Yes, it did.
Crazy switch. I like that. Press a button and there you go.
He looks like Tom Hardy.
Really?
Yeah. I told him last night. I go, I think that's probably why. I'm like so into you. Like you look like his twin.
Why would you tell him that? That's terrible.
It's a compliment.
Yeah. No, not
really.
Hey,
you look like the hottest guy on the planet.
No, I like you because you look like that guy. That's what it is. No, don't say that to him.
No, I shouldn't have. Oh, it's too late now. I'm hoping that he doesn't remember half the shit that I said because I smoked weed and I felt like when I smoked, I just kept talking and talking and talking and talking about probably stuff I shouldn't have been talking about.
Yeah. Huh? Well, you got to be careful. I'm looking at Tom Hardy here because I...
You had no idea who I was talking about.
No, I mean, I knew that you were talking about Venom because I was reading yesterday that Tom Hardy is going to be in the movie.
Right.
But I didn't see a picture of him, and now I'm looking. Have I seen him in other movies before?
Yeah, he was in Lawless. He was Bane in Batman, Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, his debut was in Black Hawk Down. I didn't realize that.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, you got... Well, if you like war movies.
I don't.
Yeah, then
yeah,
don't
like,
see it.
I don't like war movies at all.
Yeah, I liked it. But, okay, at any rate, yeah, he's pretty handsome.
Oh, my God, pretty handsome. Hello.
Really?
He's got, like, the most perfect lips on the face of the planet.
Okay. How would I know, right? All right, Tom Hardy it is. What can I tell you?
Yeah, he's
you know?
Gorgeous.
Wow. But that Venom character looks pretty scary, huh? With all these teeth and stuff.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to have to watch it because I guess he's like a news reporter. And then he like turns into
really
this villain. But I guess it's saying that him turning into the villain was really like his true self. So.
Oh, okay.
So look at this dorky news reporter. He's really a killer on the inside.
Oh, my God.
I want to see that this weekend, though. But I haven't been to the movie since I moved here.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I thought you did.
I went to like one movie screening, but that like doesn't count. Like I haven't actually like
gone to the movies.
Like gotten a ticket.
That's very interesting.
I don't have anyone to go to the movies with.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And I don't want to go by myself.
Yeah.
I went to one movie by myself.
See, what one thing that LA will do to you is really reduce your circle of friends.
Yes.
That's you know? It's very hard to socialize here
yeah,
to
it
find
is.
True friends. You mm-hmm. know, right?
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that, you know, because I guess many people are into their own, like, career and stuff, you know. And
right.
Maybe they check themselves at the door when they get here, you know,
mm-hmm.
their true selves. Because I can't imagine that people are like that when they're not here.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe some, but this city makes you. In other words, you know, when I was, like, in Oregon and stuff, I was driving, like... slowly, you know, nonchalant, not caring about anything.
Right.
I come back here and I drive like crazy, like everybody else, you know, like really fast, impatient.
Why does everyone drive like that? Like, even on the back roads, I'm like, you don't need to go down Wilshire.
right.
going 90 miles per hour. Like, there's nowhere you need to go that's that important.
Right. Well, that's how you drive in L.A. That's the point.
I get beat up.
And you don't
all
see that a lot because you're not on the freeways.
No, but they drive crazy the in the back roads. Yeah. Laurel Canyon, even when it's like this, they're like going 100. I'm like, what?
I know. They're like the tailgate here, right?
Yeah, and I'm not going any faster, babe. It's one lane.
Yeah. And it's quite curvy too. Yeah. You don't want to like.
I hate when people beep too when it's like a green light or something, and it makes it just makes me want to go slower.
Yeah,
like very lightly take my foot off the gas.
Yeah,
like I'm not gonna go.
Well,
faster.
Yeah, you should be in some other countries. It's even worse. I'm telling you.
I actually want to go to another country.
All the honking and stuff. Yeah,
I would do anything to just go on like a 4-day weekend vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just to Mexico, swoop in, swoop out.
Well, you're gonna get it in December, you know. Oh, but you want to go home in December.
Yeah, but
well, go home and take a trip to Miami or something from there or something with your thought.
I do want to go away for New Year's, though. Yeah. I've never had a good New Year's Eve. Like, I've never done anything good on New Year's Eve. I've never had a Valentine, and I've never done anything good on my birthday.
Oh, okay.
So those three for the next, this year coming up, have better be good.
Okay, cool. Well.
Mm-hmm. I deserve it.
You do.
I do.
You do. Everybody deserves a good break.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. I just wanted to bring up that in an auction, a whiskey bottle fetched $1.1 million. A whiskey bottle.
Like, is there whiskey in it?
Yeah, there's whiskey in it.
Is there, like, magical, like...
It's 60-year-old, a 60-year-old bottle. 1926 was made by private... Oh, it's called Macallan Valerio Adami, 1926. Was made by a private collector from Asia. That was the winning bid. Oh.
Who the fuck would ever buy a bottle of whiskey for $1.1 million?
Yeah, collectors, I guess. I guess there's a market for it. Otherwise, who would buy it, you know?
But somebody who has way too much money.
Right.
Like, imagine just spending $1 million on a bottle of whiskey you're never going to drink.
Right. That's what they call conspicuous consumption when people have too much money.
Yeah, like I was explaining last night to this guy. I was like, yeah, I think designer stuff is cool.
Uh-huh.
But I'd rather like my man take me on vacation as opposed to buying a $7,000 Chanel bag.
Right.
What am I going to do with this bag after you leave?
Right.
I'd rather
this just
you...
confirms experiences beat material.
Yeah, things. Like I'd rather go on vacation with you for a week where you spend that $7,000 and then I have like... the memory of you as opposed to this Chanel bag I'm going to wear with one outfit because it goes with nothing else.
Right.
And then it's just going to be in my closet till till I Poshmark it and sell it for half the price.
Either that or you break up with him and you go out with somebody else with that bag,
yeah,
you know?
That sucks.
Yeah.
You know how many guys probably do that? Fucking idiots. Buy her like the newest bag on the face of the planet and then she's like, all right, bye. I got my bag from you.
Yeah, exactly. Take it back, you know. All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guest right now. We're joined by Mr. Dick Larson. Welcome to the show, Dick.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. You're from Orange County, you told me.
Right.
So that's quite a drive to come here.
Yes, it was.
So,
oh,
and
God.
I told you we'll make it worthwhile for you. At least we'll listen to you.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
So, give us a little bit of background. Did you actually grow up in Orange County?
No, I grew up in Minnesota. And the Air Force during the Vietnam War brought me out here. And so once I got to Southern California, there was no
way. Going back.
I had shoveled my last snow.
Right. So did you say Air Force?
Yeah.
Okay, so you went to the Air Force?
Yeah.
What age were you? Right after high school?
Yeah, college? Right after college.
21. Oh, after college.
Yeah. Yeah, there was still a draft in those days, so.
Oh, wow.
I decided.
So you had to go.
I didn't want to stomp around in a rice paddy carrying a rifle, so I enlisted in the Air Force.
Yeah, wow. And where did that take you?
Here, to San Bernardino.
Oh, okay.
I had training in Mississippi and was hit by Hurricane Camille down there while we were there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Most powerful hurricane to ever hit the United States. 210-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Really? And you were there?
It took great big ships and just dumped them like a half a mile inland.
Wow.
Yeah, it was nasty.
And you lived there at the time?
Yeah, yeah. We went to a safe place on the Air Force base, my wife and I, and we spent the night there listening to things bounce off the walls.
Wow.
Outside, you know.
Yeah.
So it was nasty.
Wow.
So then I put in for Orange County, for San Bernardino, and got it. And so that was my permanent assignment, was San Bernardino. And then I was never going to go back after that. So then I came out here to L.A. and got
That's how
job.
I feel about leaving, too. It's just so hard.
Yeah, right.
Like, you, like, even thinking about going home for Christmas, I'm like, ugh.
I know. It's such a, it's culture shock.
Yeah, almost. It's like, can you guys come here, actually? Can we switch
so
it up?
So I came from a real small town, so going to San Bernardino was a couple hundred thousand, was a perfect kind of entryway for me into the crowds of Los Angeles.
Yeah,
now that I've been here, I
took it slowly. Gradually, right?
Yeah.
So now in Orange County, you don't really feel like you live in L.A., right? It's kind of a different world.
Well, a little bit. I mean, we're 2 miles from the beach, so I love that.
Right.
And so we walk a lot at the beach.
What town specifically do you live in?
Huntington
Beach. In Huntington Beach.
I love Huntington Beach.
Yeah, so you're right on the coast.
It's so nice out there.
Yeah. But there's a lot of traffic. That's a
Yeah, there is.
You can't get away from that.
I know. That makes you crazy, you know?
Yeah, but there's so many cute, like, restaurants and bars to go to. Like, it's just, like, a cool vibe.
Right.
I haven't been since I was, like, 20, but I remember liking it.
Yeah. Well, once I've been to a place where there's not a lot of people, I realize there's other ways to live, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to be where all the crowds are, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's cool.
I might go back to Minnesota if it didn't have a winter, but...
Yeah, you guys have some brutal winters there.
Oh, man. Horrible, wow. Horrible stuff.
People, I don't think human beings
were meant to live there. I think Boston might be worse.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Boston
I mean,
has
known
brutal
for, really?
Winters. Like, horrible.
Really? I went like home lots of snow and stuff?
Yeah, and like, really? But snow to the point where like you can't even leave the house. Like, you got to wait 2 days for it to melt.
Yeah, well, there you go. You see, maybe it's just as bad. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Minnesota is known for, you know, every time I see like a Viking game or something, it's snowing. You
is
know?
That where they had the Super Bowl, right? Minnesota?
When was the last time? I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure.
Not the last few.
It was something with an M. It wasn't Missouri. I'm pretty sure it was Minnesota.
No.
It was snowing.
In Minneapolis?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
No, but that's the...
Well, maybe it was.
Really?
Yeah, because they built a new stadium there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Super Bowl was there. Because it was snowing during the Super Bowl, and I was like, wow, it looks so cold there. I feel so bad for those players that aren't getting any playing time.
Yeah. Wow, in Minneapolis. Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Oh, so I was right. Oh,
but,
for once.
February 2018. I'll be damned if you're not right. We're both wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't follow the...
So maybe you do have bad winters, because I heard it was freezing out there for the Super Bowl. Like, people were like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, well, who would even want to sit through that? I'm like, holla at me when it's in California.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. So you're here now, and,
yes.
And you like it and everything. After the Air Force, what did you do when you went into the civilian
world? I went into business and was a corporate executive for about 23 years, and... Then I got laid off. The company had about 100 employees, and they laid off the top, the people that were making the most money.
That's usually who they get rid of, right?
That's usually how it goes.
So then I went into teaching. I became a special education teacher. I went back to school and became a special education teacher and worked with the Down syndrome kids. And I fell in love with autistic kids. So I ended up working with autistic kids for several years.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
We're like so lucky to have people like you, you know, because... I mean, otherwise these kids would be neglected, right?
Yeah, it's tough because they're probably never going to get any better, you know.
So yeah.
It's about trying to give them some kind of quality of life as much as you
can.
And
the families too, right?
It's tough. I mean, oh, yeah.
It's tough on the families too.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
I mean, you can't get a regular babysitter because they don't know how to deal with the kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really, really tough.
Right.
Yeah.
I've seen
that. I feel sorry
for
the parents.
But they have like tests now, though.
For?
Like, women can now take tests that'll tell you if your kid is going to be autistic.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are you going to have an abortion if it is?
I don't know what I would do, honestly. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation.
Yeah. So maybe it's better not to know.
And like, what if the test is wrong?
Right. I mean, if you carried a baby, would you get rid of it just because it was going to be autistic? That's a tough question.
You know? Like, because it's like a lifestyle
very
change.
Tough question.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a commitment for life.
Yeah.
It's very personal.
Yeah. That's I don't know how I would answer that because I've never been in that
situation.
You
can't judge other people. Like this, huh?
Everybody would be different.
Yeah. It's like asking someone if they would adopt.
Yeah.
Would you adopt?
Oh, to ask someone if you would adopt?
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I mean, it's a, I feel like it is.
No.
Well, no, it's not the same. It's not going to be like a lot of work, but I feel like it's a, like, you know, when someone's just like, hey, would you adopt?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, personally, right now, I probably wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't.
But what if you were like 30?
I don't know. Look, I mean, I don't know. Look, if it was, let's say I got married and we couldn't have kids or something, I think it'd be fine to adopt.
Right.
Right. But at any rate, back to Dick.
A random question. Sorry, that was totally off topic.
It's okay. We're talking to Dick Larson, a guest that drove from Orange County this morning. So you were laid off and everything. Do you have any offspring, any kids?
I do. I have two daughters. They're adult daughters. They have families of their own now.
Yeah.
And so I'm a grandpa.
Oh,
six times over.
Really?
Six kids?
Yeah, each one has three.
Wow.
Six grandchildren. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. That's great.
Very nice. Well, congratulations on that. So tell us what you want to talk about today. I mean, there's a lot of material here and everything and some stuff I can't even pronounce.
Well, and it can be very confusing. So I have something I want your listeners to know first off, and you too for that matter. And that is that I want your listeners to know that I don't want them to believe anything I say. Because that would be blind belief, and I can't recommend that to anybody. I'm not here to convince people that what I say is true. I'm here to talk about something called the Ageless Wisdom Teachings, and part of that is about how to live life, and part of it is prophecy. And so you can't prove prophecy just by the very nature of it, you know.
Right.
So I'm not here to convince people that what I have to say is true or to get them to think like I think. But rather just to give out my information, and then they can take it for whatever. If 10 or 20% of it makes sense to them, great.
That's true, and that's why I invited you on the show, because it's interesting to me how organizations, movements like this begin and how they grow, you know, and it's very unusual. I don't think many people have heard yet of what you're about to tell us.
No.
Right.
Several million in the world. But not a lot in Los Angeles, I don't think.
Right.
So
describe this to us. This is an organization, would you say, or a movement?
Share International is a nonprofit educational organization that's trying to get out information about the world teacher.
Right.
Who, you know, about every 2,000 years, we get a great teacher. God sends a great teacher. Or the universe sends a great
just
teacher.
Just one in every 2,000 years?
Well, yeah. Okay. Before, like, 2,000 years ago, it was Jesus who brought the teaching of God's love.
Right.
Right before him, it was the Buddha who taught the wisdom of God.
Oh.
Jesus taught the love of God. It's been 2,000 years. It's time for another teacher.
Okay.
My information, I'll tell you where it comes from in a minute because everybody asks, is that the teacher is here now waiting for the right time to come forward to humanity on radio and television in a big press conference. And he brings the teaching of God's will. He says humanity is finally ready to start doing God's will seriously.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, Jesus taught love, and we haven't done a very good job with that one yet.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, we're kind of slow to pick up on things. But he said that humanity's changed a lot in the last 2,000 years. You know, people weren't educated back then.
Right.
The only people that were educated were the rabbis and the tax collectors. And so people just had to take things at face value for whatever they were told.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. We can think for ourselves. We can research for ourselves. Thank God for the internet and for informed people. And so the world's a lot different now. And he says through Benjamin Krem, my source, that we're ready to really seriously consider doing God's will now. And so he comes to teach that. He also comes to teach something you were talking about earlier, Danny, and that is relationships.
Oh, God.
How to treat each other right.
Right.
How to be kind
which
to each
no
other.
Which no one is doing.
That we're all brothers and sisters, and that we need to learn that.
Right.
You know, that we're all sons and daughters of the one God, many names, one God, you know, or the universe if you don't believe in God. See, that's the thing. You don't have to believe anything. It's not about belief. It's about how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't ask people to believe in him, the world teacher. The source for my information, people always ask that, so let's get that out of the way.
Okay.
The source for my information is something called the Ageless Wisdom Teachings. It's an ancient philosophy as old as humanity. First, it was passed down by word of mouth, and then finally written. The last two great teachers were a woman named Alice A. Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s that are available. They're kind of hard to read, I think. But the most recent teacher is a man named Benjamin Creme, spelled C-R-E-M-E.
Right.
He has about 15 books on Amazon. I'm not here to sell books, but he has about 15 books on Amazon. If anybody's curious, they can go, you know, read the summaries of them and so on. But I knew Benjamin Creme very well. He passed away a couple of years ago at age 92.
Well, that's a good life, I feel. I feel like 92 is a good life.
No kidding. Yeah. He's from London and actually Scottish, but lived in London and used to come to America once a year, and he'd give a lecture in New York, then he'd give a lecture in L.A., and then he'd give a lecture in San Francisco. And so I met him after one of the lectures, and I ended up interviewing him for television three times and got to know him. I did a lot of meditating with him and a lot of studying with him over the years, about 25 years. And so I knew him very well. Very humble guy, very humble guy, made no spiritual claims for himself. But he did admit that he was in touch with one of the masters of wisdom. The masters of wisdom are the kingdom of souls, what we might call the kingdom of heaven. They're the masters, ascended masters, they're sometimes called. They're humans like us who have gone through their evolution ahead of us here on planet Earth and become perfected people. So they've learned every lesson that planet Earth has to teach them, and they don't need to come back anymore.
Right.
And they become permanent spirits. And then if when they do that, if they want to, they can hang around planet Earth and advise humanity and inspire humanity behind the scenes.
Right.
So these masters,
but that sounds already like religions already believe in that, you know?
Well, that's the thing. The ageless wisdom is said to the basic truth.
To be like
the
truth.
Ageless wisdom,
so it's a truth
are said to
everybody.
Underlie all of the world's major religions.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this also sounds to me like the beginning of a new religion. Would you look at it this way?
No, not at all.
No, I mean, because you're having someone that's like the messenger of God by his own self-proclamation. Let's say he refers to him as whoever, and then people start following him and stuff. But I'm really fascinated by this. How does it start?
Yeah.
How does a person get like so much charisma and a following like
that?
Well,
Benjamin Creme was told that he would be contacted and asked to do something if he wanted to. We have free will. It's sacred. Nobody will ever tell us what to do. The masters of wisdom won't. Nobody will tell us what to do. And so then he forgot about it. About 15 years later, a guy came to him and said, you're receiving communications, you're receiving mental telepathy communications, but they're bouncing off you. You're not getting them. So then he was trained how to do mental telepathy, and one of the masters was advising him the whole time. So 24 hours a day, he could ask the master questions, whatever he wanted, and he would get answers. And, of course, I think this is true because it makes so much sense to me. But anyway, Benjamin Creme was asked if he would go around the world and tell the world that there's a great teacher coming so that people would be hopeful. And,
right.
and in these horrible times, mm-hmm. people need hope. I mean, this is not a great world out there right now. It's not even a great country right now.
Right. But and, has it ever been, you know? I mean, it depends,
well,
you know?
Not compared to what it could be, no.
No, I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, what I'm saying is I think over history, right now, I think we have it better than we ever had. I mean, we've conquered famine. We've conquered a lot of disease. We've conquered, hunger for the most part and things like that. So, so I think we're in better shape today. It's, you know, it seems almost like easy to say, today's world is the worst it's ever been and stuff like that. But I think it's been worse. You know, I mean, you could have lived in many harder times, but many things I do agree, you know, that we could use a little more love, a little more, understanding of each other, a little more tolerance. So people can get along, because if we don't get along, you know, this morning I was just thinking, because I've been reading on the origins of man and things like this, how we've evolved and become technological and all this stuff and trying to be like godlike, you know, we don't want to die and things like that. So I thought, you know, history is all full of wars, really. I mean, when you think about it, when you look at history lessons, every chapter is about wars. This country fought this country fought that, you know. But there's other things that have happened as well
right.
that we need to be aware of, you know. So, but Don't you think it would be a problem making claims that this person is like more than an ordinary human being? He claims to be a messenger of God's messages.
Yeah, the world teacher. His personal name is Maitreya, which means the happy one, the one who brings joy.
Maitreya.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And he is actually the head of the spiritual hierarchy, the head of the masters.
Is he alive?
He's alive now. He's in a male body. My understanding, he's about 6'3".
Uh-huh.
It's a body that he made. His consciousness was in the Himalayas. Most of the masters are in the mountains and deserts of the world. Staying behind the scenes. Mm. They haven't walked among humanity for 98,000 years. And 98,000 years, they gave us science before we were ready to deal with it, and we made weapons out of it, and that's where the fall of Atlantis came from. We blew all of these continents into the ocean. It's a true story.
So
that was 98,000 years ago, so the master said, I guess we better wait a while and come back later.
So it started from scratch. It started over after they destroyed the planet.
So now they're coming. It's time for them to come forward again, and the first one is Maitreya, the world teacher. He's in a body that he made, so he doesn't need to eat or sleep. He can't be killed. You know, they travel. The masters travel by thought, so he can appear 20 places at once if he wants to, in any way he wants. He's been appearing to people a lot, and so has Jesus. He and Jesus worked very, very closely together, which is fine with me because I grew up a Christian. Now, I don't go to church anymore, but I did.
Right.
Then I started studying the world's religions, and I thought, you know, that's pretty cool, and I got into just spirituality, and then I discovered the ageless wisdom because of Benjamin Krem. But he and Jesus work a lot together, and they've been appearing to people, sometimes as a homeless person, sometimes as a child, man, woman, African-American, Asian-American, Caucasian-American, all different ways. And they just appear usually for a brief moment or two. They may talk to people. They may not. They may just appear to them. But people know there's something special. And Benjamin Krem was the editor of a magazine called Share International, which is a monthly magazine in about 40 countries around the world.
Okay.
And no advertising because he didn't want to be beholden to anybody, you know.
Yeah.
He wanted to tell his truth as he heard it from the master,
right,
and from his master. And so people would write in if they thought they saw a master, had an experience of a master. And then he would ask his master if it was true, and if so, who it was, and then he'd publish that letter in Share International. So that's how we know, for people that think this makes sense, and it's a big jump.
It is.
It's a big jump.
It is.
But it's time for a teacher, and I'll tell you, his first four priorities are real basic stuff. You asked if it was a religion. Maitreya's first four priorities are food for everybody, shelter for everybody, education for everybody, and healthcare for everybody,
right,
in the world.
Makes sense.
As a human right.
Right.
The United Nations says it's a human right, but we haven't spread it around yet.
Right.
You know, as we sit here and talk about every 8 seconds, someone in the world dies of starvation.
Yeah.
Mostly children.
Right.
And we don't see it. You know, we're immune from it. So the world looks pretty good from where we're sitting. But right, from where they're sitting and their families are, you know, it's very, very tragic. And so these kids are dying. We've got a 12% per capita surplus of food in the world, but it's not getting distributed.
Right, but what I'm saying is, look, that is true, but many countries have to worry about their own people first, their own problems
first. Of course.
First, you know? So if they have to take care of, like, let's say we have a lot of crime or something, we have to spend a lot on crime, we have to spend a lot on defense, we have to spend a lot on health care and research and stuff like that, maybe there's no money left for other countries.
There will be. All we need to do is take like 1% of our military budget and it would feed the world.
Mm.
I mean, it's huge. It's so huge and so unnecessary. Yes, we need a military, but we don't need the military we have
now. So why don't we do that if that's true?
We will.
No, but why haven't people done this? You know, because I mean, I do see.
Because
I see a lot of assistance from Western countries helping other ones. Maybe it's not perfect, but you know, we supply a lot of the world. Wouldn't you say that? Where would it come from? Like that equality, that ability to have everybody have the basic needs. Where would it come from? How would it happen?
From people's hearts. People would
demand it. So people's hearts would change.
People would demand it. Here's what's going to happen.
Right.
As I know it, we've changed eras now. We've moved out of Pisces. You know, our planet was in alignment with Pisces. There's 12 constellations. We call them the zodiac. We come into alignment about every 2,000 years with one of these constellations, and we receive the tremendous energies. And we call that alignment, we call that the age of whatever that constellation
right.
is. If you went up to Mount Wilson, the astronomers would call it the precession of the equinox. It's a scientific thing that's real. I'm not talking about the astrology published in newspapers for entertainment.
Right.
And so we have moved out of Pisces, what gave the world individuality and dedication to an idea. So individuality, man has come out of the herd over the last 2,000 years. Dedication to an ideal of freedom is what saved the world from Hitler and Mussolini and those guys, because we were committed to freedom. So the energy from Pisces has done its job, but that individuality has caused a lot of separation. For example, the Democrats and Republicans have never been farther apart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the rich and the poor have never been farther apart. So it's caused a lot of separation. Well, now we're moving into the influence of Aquarius, the next constellation. And Aquarian energies are cooperation and synthesis. Things will be done in groups. Benjamin Graham's master went so far as to say that even the president of the United States will no longer be one person. It will be a panel of wise people.
Uh-huh.
And so
that would be cool.
I know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's really needed, I think. So things like that are going to happen. And what he said is that this is a time when people, everyday folks like you and I, will run the world. Mm. Why? Because we will tell our elected representatives that they don't do what we want, we'll throw them out.
Right, but and we already do.
The leaders will start listening to the people. This is going to come more and more over the next 100, 200 years.
Yeah.
And even in our lifetime, it's going to change a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's why I said it's going to come from the heart of the people.
Right.
That's who's going to feed the world. We're going to demand it. We're going to demand that they take some of the, just a piece of that military budget that they don't need and feed people with it. Is starting in our own country.
Oh, you know,
we've got people starving here.
Right.
You know, we got people homeless here all over the place. They all come to Southern California because there's no winter.
Mm-hmm.
You can't survive the winter if you're homeless.
That's
you know?
True.
Yeah. So, I mean, we need to take care of that kind of stuff, and it's going to happen because it'll be the will of the people.
Okay.
People have big hearts. Benjamin Graham's master said, I love this, he said, the heart of America will save the world.
Right. Well, it had already many times.
Yeah.
It already has. I mean, look, we World War One and World War Two. If America did not join, the ending would be very different.
Right.
Yeah.
So we saved the world, the planet, a few times. You know, I mean, and I can go back in history and recount several times. But like the Korean War was very important. You know, if we hadn't fought that war, things would look a lot different today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. The big scheme of things. So what I'm saying is I agree with that about America's heart. I think we're the most compassionate people. And that's when people criticize Americans, I get offended, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, we haven't had a chance to show it because our leaders aren't acting that way. You know, the Senate and the House of Representatives and the presidency have become a seat of power.
Right.
Just like the military, Pentagon, has become a seat of power. That's why they have all the money. And the other seat of power is the wealth, the wealthy people in the world.
Right.
There aren't many of them, but they've got most of the wealth. And so those are the three seats of power, and it's basically greed. It's basically me first.
Right.
And the world is going to change now, where it's going to change from you or me to you and me.
Yeah.
It's going to change from competition to cooperation.
Right.
And that shift is going to happen. And the masters, by the way, Maitreya doesn't come alone. There are 13 other masters on the planet right now waiting for the time to come forward. They're in the major cities of the world, London, Geneva, Tokyo, Rome, New York.
And people are going to accept them as...
There's a master in the San Bernardino Mountains.
Really?
Yeah.
So people are going to accept them actually as who they claim to be?
Well, they'll, you know, the tree is known by its fruit. They'll know by their actions and their words. And then everybody has to judge for themselves. We all have not everybody's going to be on board right away.
Right,
a lot
right.
of people are going to say, "Ooh, Antichrist," and things like that.
But what kind of actions would we have to see in order to believe they're the real thing?
They're teachers, and they're going to teach us how to get this planet back on track. Right now, we have lost our way.
Right,
we're not on the path that God intended for this planet because we're starving people, and we can't end war.
Right,
and we can't end pollution.
Uh huh.
And those three things are holding back the evolution of this planet. And so we're not, we've lost our way, and they're going to help us get back on track. They come as teachers. Right. They're going to teach us. There's going to be a master in every aspect of life. There's going to be a master in the arts, a master in finance, a master in healthcare, a master in government,
right.
A master in every aspect of life.
To me, that would be
life.
Kind of scary, though.
And they're going to just give advice. They're going to make suggestions, and we can either follow them or not.
So we're going to accept them as a group of people that are like, what, superhumans, or what are they?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're representatives of the kingdom of souls, but they're in human bodies temporarily.
I see. So they're souls, yeah. And so they come from the spiritual world.
Well, they do. They
right.
Do. They've
and
learned
they
all the lessons
themselves.
That we're still trying to learn. They've learned them all. Okay. See, they've made every mistake we made. They were human like us.
Right.
They've killed people and they've been killed. They've hated people and they've been hated. So they that's why they understand us so much. They understand us completely. That's why they never judge us.
Right.
Because they were us. They know what it's like. They just
to
love
be
us
human.
And want to help. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just love us and want to help.
Right.
It's the most amazing thing. What a gift. And
right.
So they're not going to force themselves on us. They'll just make themselves known. You'll see Maitreya on TV worldwide. And there'll be a huge press conference. And by radio and by TV, and there are three ways that you'll know it's him. And I want to tell your listeners, if I may.
Okay, go ahead.
Three ways
to know.
Okay.
So is that like the Messiah coming? Is that what it is?
It is.
Like the ultimate. Okay, so.
Every major religion is expecting their great teacher to return at about this time.
Right.
Christians are looking for Christ. The Buddhists are looking for the next Buddha.
Right.
The
Jews looking for the Messiah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so on. He comes now with mass communication. He can fulfill all of those prophecies in one person.
Right.
And that's what he comes to do. Mm. So what he will do is he will appear on television at a big press conference. So if you hear about a big press conference, I suggest you check in.
Yeah.
Check it out. And there'll be three ways you'll know it's him. Number one, you'll see his face on TV.
Right.
But his lips won't move. You'll hear his words in your head telepathically in whatever your native language is.
Right.
Everybody in the world over the age of 14 will hear his voice in their head. Even workers in the field will hear his voice.
So this
in
is
their
something
head.
Totally supernatural, and it's going to happen for the first time.
That's right.
This okay.
never happened
And when
before.
Is this going to happen?
That's the thing. Nobody knows the
We
day
don't
the
know.
Hour.
Okay.
No. My best guess, is within 2 years.
2 years?
Yep.
Okay, so in our lifetime. So
oh, no,
people
no. Well, for
will
sure.
be able to verify what you say.
Oh, yeah, sure. If you're in reasonable health, you're going to be there, and it's going to be an experience you'll never, ever forget.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
I am, too. I want to just know if that's like really going to happen. You know?
Well, I can't prove
it. So you have to be watching the TV for this to be happening.
Yeah, but you'll hear about it. I mean, it'll be announced ahead of time by the media. There's going to be a big worldwide press conference.
Right.
You'll hear about it. The second way you'll know it's him is that while you're watching and listening to him, he may be 35-45 minutes. Nobody knows how long he's going to speak.
Right.
While you're listening to him and watching him, you will feel the love of God in your heart like you have never felt it before. He said it will be so powerful, it will be as if I physically embrace you. A lot of people will be crying. I'll probably be one of them.
Yeah, same.
The third way you'll know it's him is that when he's done speaking, there'll be press reports from around the world that while he was speaking, hundreds of thousands of people were miraculously healed.
Oh, okay.
And those
so
three
we'll
ways,
know. We'll know
you'll
right
know
away.
He's
yeah,
the teacher.
I
we'll know
so.
Right away.
And then we
yeah,
can
okay,
either follow
cool.
his suggestion or not.
Right.
But it'll be a very personal experience. It'll be unique for everybody. He's going to give us a glimpse of the past and show us where we've lost our way, you know, in our mind's eye. He's going to give us a glimpse of the future to inspire us. One of God's great laws is the law of equilibrium. And what that says is that however bad it's been, that's how good it's going to get.
Right.
There, we have a brilliant, wonderful future ahead of us as a human race. He's going to give us a glimpse of that to inspire us
Sounds
to take
good.
Action.
So it's going to be in about 2 years, right?
Well, or
happens,
1 year.
Okay, so what happens if 10 years pass and nothing happened? What would you feel then?
That I was wrong.
You were wrong?
Yeah.
And then you move on.
But
would you go
I don't
back
think
to Christianity?
Be,
or?
Oh, no, no. I don't think it would be 10 years at all. I mean, I just can't see that.
No, I mean, I just mean if it never happens, because the likelihood is slim to none. Yeah. Wouldn't you say? I mean, look,
I don't think it's slim to none. Why would you say that?
Okay, let me tell you why.
Why? Because it's unrealistic?
No, I'm just going back because it sounds supernatural to me.
But supernatural shit is real.
But no, it's not. It doesn't happen.
Yes, well, it does.
Never has.
Okay.
What? What's supernatural?
Jesus came as a teacher.
Okay, but
they killed him.
But we can't prove any of that either. You know, we're 2,000 years. Yeah. We're 2,000 years later, you know? We don't know.
Like I said, I'm that's not asking you to believe us. This.
No, exactly. And that's why I like it. Yeah. And I'm not arguing with you. What I'm trying to see is to understand it from different perspectives, you know?
Yeah. I feel like supernatural stuff is real. Like maybe like 3 weeks ago, I was driving here and there was like a burst of light that came through my car window, but I felt like it went through my body. It wasn't like the sunlight.
Okay, but let me ask you.
That's an experience.
Anything
ever
happened?
And I immediately FaceTimed my sister. I go, something weird just happened. I was driving, and I felt like a spirit or something just like went right through me.
Okay, but what I'm saying to you is this. Was there ever anything supernatural on a global level? So anybody, like, for example,
no.
An appearance
sure.
of somebody.
Right.
Sure.
Tell me.
Sure.
Please.
There have been all kinds of miracles that the masters have created over the last 30 years worldwide in every major religion, just to give people hope, to let them know that we've not been forgotten, that we're going to be taken care of. One of them was the Hindu milk drinking miracle. For 6 days, all of the Hindu statues, if you held a spoon with milk up to the statue, the milk disappeared.
Really?
Around the world.
Yeah.
They ran out of
and
milk.
This is documented?
They ran out of milk in India.
Anywhere?
Oh, yeah. It was on CNN. It was on everything.
Oh, wow.
They ran out of milk in India.
Uh-huh.
People were lined up for blocks a friend of mine did it.
Yeah.
Held the spoon out and the milk just disappeared.
Right.
They looked like the statues drank them, but these statues were metal and stone.
I mean,
they can't drink milk.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the worldwide miracles that has actually happened. Yeah. And see, miracles and what was the word you used? Not miracles.
Supernatural. Right.
That's just science that we don't understand.
Right. Absolutely.
And so.
But we haven't experienced any of it on a collective level. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we hear stories about Jesus and Moses and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Even more recent history. It's based on what people told us. We don't really know.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can change things and stuff, but. Listen, I'm not here to debunk anything. That's why I invited you, because I'm fascinated by new points of view. You know, would love to hear more about this. There's a lot. Tell us something. How can people find out more about this so they can be involved if they want to?
Thank you for
asking. I'm sure many people love this stuff.
Well, Sam, you're perfect, because I started the show by saying, don't believe this. So
I'm a big skeptic,
but
it's my job as the host to ask you everything.
Of course.
Yeah, but you've always been skeptic of supernatural stuff.
I've been called crazy. I've been called the Antichrist.
I'm sure
I've heard it all.
But we don't call you any of that. Not here.
Damn, Antichrist is a little dramatic. I'm like, settle down.
The answer to your earlier question, what happens in 10 years if it doesn't, I'll just continue to try to live the best life I can.
There you go.
And be kind to people.
Because
be
it's not bad things that you're talking about here. Those are
the royal road to spiritual growth is service to others and meditation. Now, meditation isn't for everybody in this lifetime, but when they come back, they may find themselves meditating next time. You know, we've all had thousands of lifetimes by the time.
Right.
By the time you know you're a living soul, you've had thousands of lifetimes, and you don't have many left.
Right.
You're on the final stretch of human experience, you know, which is pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
The website is www.share-international.org. share-international.org, not .com, .org.
Okay.
And there's tons of information. There's videos and pictures of miracles. There's interviews with Benjamin Krem on there. Benjamin Krem doesn't, like I said, he doesn't want it to be about him. I just mention him because he's the source of my information.
Okay. And how did you discover him?
A friend told me he was going to give a lecture in Los Angeles and thought I'd be interested.
Yeah.
So I went 25 years ago.
And it really touched you.
And, well, a lot of what he said went right over my head.
Just, really?
Well, that's pretty complex stuff for a kid who grew up in a Lutheran church, you know. And But I thought, you know, there were a few things he said that made sense. Like he said, the nature of the soul is to serve.
Right.
When people get in touch with their soul, they start to look for ways to help people.
Right.
You're telling women to have self-esteem no matter what the guy's like.
Right, and kick him to the curb.
Yeah. And that kind of thing, trying to help people.
Right.
So what one of the biggest problems humanity has right now, according to the World Teacher, is that we have forgotten who we are.
Yeah.
We have forgotten that we're not humans having spiritual experiences. We're spirits having a human experience.
Right.
And there's a big difference.
Right.
And
that
if we
makes
start,
sense.
And their goal, the master's goal as teachers, is to help us express who we really are,
right,
the soul that we are, the love that we are, better and better through our bodies and minds and emotions.
Right.
Those are the tools we have to use, you know, in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And to help us express who we really are, our spirit nature, better.
Sounds great. Dick Larson, how can people find you specifically? I mean, are you on social media or anything?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It's not about me.
It's not about you.
No.
Okay.
I love that.
So that's good. Okay. So, but you are sending us to share-or-international.org.
Right.
And you guys can find out all the information there. Dick, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Very
thank
fascinating.
You so much.
Of course. And the bottom line is you're talking about positive, humane things,
yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing.
People need hope right now.
Yeah,
right.
That's for sure.
You don't have to believe it, but if a little 10% of you says, you know, this could happen,
I think it's going to happen. I'm waiting for something like that to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be amazed if I ever put on the TV and the guy's lips aren't moving, and I'm like, I hear him though.
Right,
like
right.
Anything I ever doubted
You'd
would then be.
That.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, no,
because I believe
true.
In like ghosts and
but
like.
But that would change everything. You know,
it'll be the beginning of a new day.
But maybe that's what we need is change, because nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
nothing's working.
Yeah.
See, everything. Do we have a minute?
Yeah, a minute.
Everything was built with Piscean energy. The government, the healthcare, the education.
Right.
And none of it's working anymore because Piscean energy is being withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to rebuild these wonderful institutions that have served us for 2,000 years. We have to rebuild them with Aquarian energy of cooperation and synthesis. And once we rebuild them, there'll be changes in the government and everything else, but
mm-hmm.
it'll be for the good.
Right.
Then they'll serve us for the next 2,000 years.
Right,
right now, it looks horrible because it's collapsing. It can't do anything but collapse right now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're here to turn the world around. It's no accident you're on the planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad you are too, Sam. Then you too,
well,
Danny.
Well, so here's to life, folks. And that's a good way to wrap up the show. Dick, thanks again for joining us. I hope we made it pleasant for you.
My pleasure.
Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow's Friday, folks. We're going to be talking about movies. Zoriana Kitt is going to come back, and she's pretty cool. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.